Well, good morning. I don't know if you've ever woken up in the morning and realized you needed the Lord. That's my morning today, which truly it's every morning. I can tell you, though, that I'm running about 110% today because my body's a little, struggling a little bit. So I'm really trying to depend on the Lord today. Which is a great illustration because, you know, I'm talking about faith. We're in this incredible story of faith. Actually, one of the most incredible moments of faith in all of the scriptures. And, you know, I always pray, God, give me an illustration for the week that makes sense with the sermon. So I'm living it in front of you right now. So you're going to have to work to listen to me. Thankfully, the Holy Spirit's going to help me, and my wife gave me this tea that I'll try to, if I get in trouble, I'll dig into it. But, you know, we're in this series called Right Here, Right in Front of Us. And, you know, God is at work in front of us. And this is why, I wanted to tough it out today rather than hand the baton to somebody because I couldn't talk very well. Because, you know what? God gives us the power to endure. The power to trust him. And so it's right in front of us. And you know, this morning, we're going to look at how coming to Jesus, that's the right source for you. It's the right source to turn to in your life. We're in John chapter 4, and this morning, it's my prayer that we catch this valuable lesson to recognize that God has called us to trust him. That you're called to trust the Lord. You're called to live by faith. You're called that individually. We're called that as a church. We're called to trust the Lord. We're called to live by faith. So often we live by sight. So often even those of us in the church that come week after week, we don't live by faith. And that's what we're called to do. And you know, I want to ask you a question. On those moments in your life when you've had to live by faith, have you been quick to doubt? Or have you been willing to trust the Lord? You know, John chapter 4, turn there, and we're going to be at the end of this chapter, and we're tracking through the Gospel of John, and that's kind of where we are today. We're going to start in verse 46, and we see this leader. That there's a lot of debate on, was this guy a Gentile or was he a Jew? We don't really know. I kind of think he was a Gentile. He was a leader in Pharaoh's government. He was a government leader. And he comes to Jesus. And this guy exemplifies what it looks like to trust the Lord. So let's stand together and let's read this passage, John chapter 4. Starting in verse 46, and let's all work together. I'll work to try to be heard, and you work to, let's just listen to the Lord and do our best today. Verse 46, so he came again to Cana in Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And at Capernaum, there was an official whose son was ill. When this man heard that Jesus had come to Judea to Galilee, from Judea to Galilee, he went to him and asked him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So Jesus said to him, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The official said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. Jesus said to him, go, your son will live. The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went on his way. As he was going down, his servants met him and told him that his son was recovering. So he asked them the hour when he began to get better, and they said to him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. The father knew that was the hour when Jesus had said to him, your son will live. And he himself believed in all his household. This was how now the second sign that Jesus did when he had come from Judea to Galilee. And this is the word of the Lord. Thank you. You may be seated. Now let's catch the obvious right here. The obvious is this, is that Jesus is the right source of help for all of your life, for all your days. Now let's embrace that for a moment. Jesus really is the right source of help for you, all your life, all your days. You're to trust him. You're to learn to walk with him. It's why this morning, even in the difficulty, I knew that it might be difficult today, so I went to bed early, and I tried to just take care of my voice the best I could. But you know what? God is reminding me today, Jesus, you're the source for all my life, for all my days, not just today, but every day. And let's look at this passage. Let's notice some details, because the details are incredible, and I don't want us to miss it. Verse 46, so he came again to Cana in Galilee, where he had made the water wine. So that was the first miracle, when he turned the water into wine. And notice about these two miracles. Both of these miracles were private miracles. When he turned water into wine, not everybody knew what Jesus did. It was only the leaders, the ones that were giving the banquet. The guests, when the water was turned into wine, didn't know what happened. They just know they had good wine. It was a private miracle. Notice that. This is a private miracle. This is just one guy coming to Jesus, going, interrupting his day, interrupting him, saying, Jesus, my son's sick. Heal him. And Jesus performs this miracle. And at Capernaum, there was an official whose son was ill. Notice this. When this man heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went to him and asked him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So notice this official. He's desperate. We get this. I've been at this point of desperation when our kids in our church have been sick. We have a young girl right now who's sick, and she's going to St. Jude's, and she's in this point of sickness. And we're walking with the Esmeyers, and we've had some of our kids who have been sick, and some have died. You know, there's a family sitting right here in the first service. I preached their son's funeral. You know, there are times that look, we experience this desperation. God, we need you. God, I can't make it without you. That's where this man was. He was so desperate. He's part of Herod's government. Jesus was not popular with Herod's government. And what does he do? He throws all that away and says, I gotta go find Jesus. He hoofs it 20 miles to where Jesus is. And he notice what he said. He came to him and he said, look, Jesus, my son is at the point of death. Come with me. Now you understand this desperation. And he says, Jesus, come with me, please. You can heal him. And look how Jesus responds. Look at verse 48. So Jesus said to him, unless you see signs and wonders, will you not believe? Now let's think about this. That seems like an odd response. It's like a rebuke. I think if you really understand this, that Jesus isn't rebuking the nobleman, but I think he's lamenting. I think there's a lament here that it's that idea that, oh, you just got to see something to believe. You just got to, it's almost like the people were buying into that popcorn theology, meaning, hey, I got my popcorn, and Jesus, I want to see you do some tricks. You know, in some ways, we understand that here in Tulsa. We live in the health, wealth, and prosperity kind of Mecca of the United States. That's what Tulsa is known for. And you know, you get a little bit of that health, wealth, and prosperity rebuke here. Jesus is going, you just want to see some signs. The only way you're going to believe is if you see a sign. And I think we've got to recognize, and we've lived this out, and this is so very important, that the miracle of following Jesus is not that he keeps us from tough times. Let me just recognize, and it's obvious today, the miracle of following Jesus is not that God made my voice 100% better by the time I got up to preach. The miracle of following Jesus is that God gives us strength in the midst of tough times. And that's the miracle. And let's not miss the power of the presence of God. That so often you see people going, I just want to see some signs and wonders, and that's why I'll believe. But let me tell you something. Jesus has already given us signs. Folks, he rose from the grave. What more do you need? He's already moved. He's given us his word that's a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. God has already spoken so clearly to the world. And so let's recognize this temptation to add to our faith, I got to see something. I'll tell you what, I've prayed this often. Lord, you've moved so clearly in my life. As I look back at my life, if the Lord never moves in front of us again, would we still trust him for the rest of our days? I would argue that God has moved so powerfully in us and through us, if we never see his hand again, we have enough reason to follow him with all we have for the rest of our days. So let's recognize the power, what's happening here, this example of faith. Look at verse 49. It's when we see this incredible lesson, how this man came to Jesus and that he believed his word. Verse 49 says, the official said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. Look at verse 50. Jesus said to him, go, your son will live. Now, if you pay close attention to this, and I don't want to miss this detail, but you see a partial granting of this guy's request, and you also see a partial denial of this guy's request. Notice what he said. He lives 20 miles away. Jesus, would you come with me because my son is sick? And Jesus looks at him and says, go, your son will live. So he's saying, I'm not going to go with you. I'm not going. But you go, he's going to live. You know, I've thought about, I tried to wrestle with what my response would have been. I tried to process how I would have said, no, Jesus, you're not hearing me. Come with me. You gotta come see him. You know, this man, there's no pleading. There's no, but wait. There's no complaining. Look at the end of verse 50. The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went on his way. Let's not miss this. This example of faith is absolutely incredible. Think of the desperation of the moment. Think of how desperate he was that he's putting his career on the line. He's putting everything on the line for Jesus to just touch his son. And then he says, go. And he goes, okay, I will. The man believed the word and went on his way. Now, if you look closely at the detail, I want you to notice something remarkable. Now, look at verse 51. It kind of picks up on the story. As he was going down, his servants met him and told him that his son was recovering. So he asked him the hour when he began to get better, and they said to him, yesterday at the seventh hour. So 7 p.m. the night before, the man's son was healed. Let's not miss this detail. He'd come to Jesus. He'd traveled 20 miles. Jesus, please heal my son. Go. I'll do it. And what does he do? He doesn't jump on his donkey or whatever he hoofed it in there on to get back to see what happened. He went and spent the night in a hotel. He went and then he goes back the next day. He doesn't even, like, Jesus, did it work? I mean, I guess they couldn't text back then, so it was difficult. But you know what? It's the next day. I don't know about you, but if I was that desperate, I would be hoofing it back. I'd be going back, I'd wake my son up. Are you better? I'd be feeling his head. No, this guy didn't do that. He goes back the next day. And then he inquired. Oh, the father knew. Look at verse 53. The father knew that was the hour when Jesus said to him, your son would live. You know what I want you to recognize? That trusting the Lord will never disappoint you. We're called to live by faith. And I want to ask you a question. Does that describe you? Are you living by faith or are you living by sight? Because notice what happened. This guy trusts the Lord, and you just get this indicator about how this changed the destiny of his whole life. And it says at the end of verse 53, and he himself believed, and all his household. Now, this was the second sign that Jesus did when he had come from Judea to Galilee. Now, Jesus says, this generation, they seek a sign. And you know what? I'd argue that every generation seeks a sign. Every generation seeks for evidence of God. But I want you to know something. The evidence of God is right in front of you. It's right in front of me. And Jesus is the right source for you and for me. And we recognize this call to live by faith. And faith is not a feeling. Faith is our foundation. I don't want you to miss that. Faith is the foundation of our lives, our faith in Christ, our trust in him every day. Faith is not blind. I want you to know there's evidence of our faith. Over and over again, God has proven himself, and he continues to prove himself over and over again. And here's what I want you to know. Faith is not theoretical. It should be the normal experience for you. You and I are called to live by faith. And so, how do we grow it? How do we grow our faith? I want to give you four steps that I want to challenge you to put into your life to grow your faith. I would say to you, now more than ever is a time that we are to be a church that lives by faith. As I hold my granddaughter and my grandson in my arms now, I want them to see me live by faith. We're called to live by faith. And I think we see this incredible example. And how do we build it? Number one is this. You deal with the Holy Spirit on a daily basis. Notice how this guy came to Jesus. Do you realize that what Jesus has left for us is the Holy Spirit in our lives? He's given us his Spirit to lead us and to speak to us. And you know what the Holy Spirit does, right? The Holy Spirit corrects you. The Holy Spirit corrects. And I'm thankful for the conviction of sin. I'm thankful for how the Holy Spirit corrects my life, how he confronts me in my sin, how he doesn't leave me where I am. The Holy Spirit corrects. The Holy Spirit responds to us. Look how Jesus, he responded to this man. Maybe not in the way he wanted, but let me tell you something. God doesn't always respond to us in the way we want, but let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit is at work in our lives. The Holy Spirit's at work in the world, and we are to join him. He doesn't join us. We join him. The Holy Spirit strengthens. And this is what we've seen over and over again, even when God didn't answer prayers like we thought. Let me tell you something. There's power that the Holy Spirit strengthens us because God is working a plan that is better than our plan. And he's working his plan in the world. And let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit will strengthen us to do whatever lies, to face any challenge before us. No matter what you're facing in your life, the Holy Spirit will strengthen you. The Holy Spirit also comforts you. And I'm thankful for the comfort of the Holy Spirit. That's what the Holy Spirit does for us. As I was wrestling through this, I thought of James chapter 4 that says this, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will exalt you. And that's an interesting verse that reminds us that we've got to deal with the sin in our lives. The Holy Spirit confronts us, convicts us. We're to grow up in our faith. We're to stop rebelling against God. But when you draw near to God, he draws near to you. And I want to challenge you. Deal with the Holy Spirit on a daily basis. This is why we're pushing you to be in the Word, to engage the Bible. The Holy Spirit's at work. This is why we come to church with an attitude of expectation, of a sensitivity of God. Speak to us, lead us. Deal with the Holy Spirit on a daily basis and you'll grow in your faith. There's a second thing. Get specific with your prayers. We got to learn to pray, folks. Like this guy, he was very specific to Jesus. Lord, heal my son. Heal my son. And we're called to be specific in our prayers. Do you realize that if you start praying specifically, your faith will grow? You know, I think about how we have interacted with our kids as they've now all grown up and they've left our house. You know, two of our two daughters went to OBU, one's at OBU right now, and our son went to UCO. And as our kids were going to college, I mean, I knew they wouldn't face like wacky professors at OBU, but I knew Eric was going to run into some at UCO. No offense to UCO. But there was one professor that was known to be like this antagonist to Christians. And so I sat down with my kids before they left my house, and I said, all right, look, there's a lot of reasons why you should trust the Lord, but one of those reasons is that God has answered prayers specifically in our lives. Like, we pointed back to when God led us to Owosso. I mean, that was 12 years ago, and as a family, we were praying hard. This was the first time I had never been a lead pastor before, and we were leaving a church we had been at for 19 years. I had started this baseball ministry that was super fun, and I knew I'd have to give some things up. And we were praying, Lord, should we go? Should we leave what was comfortable? Should we come? And God led us. And oh my goodness, am I grateful. I'm so grateful for so many reasons. You saw one today. That young guy leading worship today. That boy married my daughter. And it was up here, when we moved here, that Nathan came into Emily's life. And now, I mean, you see the Lord at work. Eric, my son, you know, I got to preach his wedding last July. And oh my goodness, this young lady that Eric married, Chloe Wall now, man, he met her up here. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, God moved in our lives and blessed us. Those are answered prayers. And we sat down with our kids and said, let's identify how God has answered specific prayers. You want to grow your faith? Start praying specifically. Mom and dad, you ought to be praying specifically for your kids and let them know about it. You ought to be praying for things as your family, as a family. God, how are you leading us? You got to do better than, hey, God bless our food. I mean, some of the food we eat, I don't think God's going to bless, right? I mean, but let's pray specifically, because as you pray specifically and watch God answer prayer, let me tell you something, you will grow in your faith. If you're struggling in your marriage, pray specifically, because when you watch God move in your marriage and God answer prayer, guess what? You don't bail on marriages. Pray specifically. Get specific with your prayers. 1 John 5:14-15, and this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request we have asked of him. And you know what? I'll be honest with you. As crazy as it is, my voice is stronger right now than it's been all morning. And I've already preached once. So you know what? Here's the thing. Does it hurt? Yeah, it does. Do you want me to sing? No. But you know what? God's faithful to answer specific prayers. You want your faith to grow? Start praying specifically. Don't rob your kids of this. Don't rob your grandkids of this. Don't rob your walk of this. Pray specifically. There's a third thing. If you want to grow your faith, take the word of God seriously. That's what this man did. He is remarkable because all Jesus did was say, hey, he's healed. Go on your way. And he left. He took Jesus at his word. Can I tell you something? One of the greatest gifts we have that they didn't have at this time, we got the Bible. We've got the word of God. And I'll tell you, I pray that you are a person, that you are a follower of Jesus that takes his word seriously. There's a reason when we get up and preach, anybody that gets up and preaches here, we're not giving a TED talk. We're not giving you our best self-help. You know what we're doing? It's a mandate that anybody that gets up and preaches that within the first 5 minutes, we better be in the Word of God. That's a mandate for me as I preach. That's a mandate for people to say, look, let's let the Word of God speak. Let's get out of the way and let God speak through his Word. We should take his Word seriously. You know, I was wrestling with that this week. That, you know, I just want to point out something we read. You know, here we are in a day where people are getting nervous about the future. You know, you turn on Prime, and one of the first layers of Prime videos are end times things, you know, because people are getting nervous about the things in the Middle East are heating up, and it sounds like prophecy. Well, no kidding, it is. No kidding. You don't expect God to keep his word? To bring this world to its appropriate end? But this week, we read Luke 21. And in Luke 21, 28, it talks about these end times. And it says this, when these things begin to take place, Luke 21, 28, when these things begin to take place, stand up, lift up your heads, because the day of redemption is drawing near. Hey, let me tell you something. When the end times moments, these moments of wars and rumors of wars and the fact that the world is turning its focus on the Middle East, like the Bible says, that will happen near the end of the days. Folks, I don't know when Jesus is going to come back. But let me tell you something. Our response to the prophecies coming to pass has been given us in Luke 21, 28, stand up, lift up your head. Hey, we're not going to cower down. This is why we've got to be more faithful as a church than ever before. This is why we've got to be more bolder than ever before. This is why we've got to turn our face to pointing the world to Jesus like never before. And I'll tell you, take the word of God seriously. You know, we did this gender discussion a couple weeks ago on Wednesday night. And you know what? It's kind of funny to me because Brad and Amber posted on this Owosso website. And we got a little heat on that. And one person got on and said, how dare that church teach what the Bible says about morality? Cool. How dare us? I kind of thought, hey, thanks. I'm really proud of that. Guess what? We believe this. And God's word's going to shape the way we think and shape the way we live. And in a day where we live in a country that from the highest levels of our offices are saying, how dare you stand on this? Sorry. Not sorry. Because this is the calling of our lives. We must take the word of God seriously like this man taught us. He just took the word of Jesus seriously. And it's inspiring to me. And I pray that it inspires you. You grow your faith by taking the word of God seriously. But there's a fourth way. you take the Word of God seriously. And I want to challenge you with this, that you get out of the comfort trap. You got to get out of this comfort trap. I want to tell you something. God didn't call us to comfort. He called us to obedience. He called us to faithfulness. And don't ever buy into the lie that Jesus came into your life to make it more comfortable. That is so absolutely inconsistent with everything I read in the Bible. You think the disciples lived a life of comfort? No. Do you think they lived a life of obedience? Now, that didn't mean they weren't successful in different things. Luke was a doctor. He had the resources to buy scrolls. The Gospel of Luke and the Acts of the Apostles, they each fill up an entire scroll. Those were very costly items. Let me tell you something. Those things weren't comfortable. Now, I'm gonna be your pastor for a second. And I want to call us to get out of our comfort zone in one very important area. Isaiah says something really powerful in Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. And I want you to hear this. You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord God is an everlasting rock. All right, can I tell you something about comfort? It's time for our church to step out of our comfort zone. I just want you to know we're normal. And I think it's time for us to not be normal anymore. You know, one area that I can tell we are normal is in our area of giving. So, since God's called us to be out of our comfort zone, and by getting out of our comfort zone, that teaches us to build our faith, I thought I'd just get uncomfortable here in a second. Do you realize that 20% of our church gives? Like, look at what we get to do as a church. God's using our church. You know that we had the biggest Easter we've ever had. We have more people coming right now than ever before. And God is using 20% of the people to do that. I thought, wow. I mean, like, we're doing some incredible things as a church. We're making a pretty good impact in this community. But what would it look like if 40% gave? I don't know that I want to stand before the Lord with a 40% effort. Do you? What if 100% of our people gave? Hey, this ought to be a challenge to every one of your groups. This ought to be a challenge at every level in our church. It's time to not be normal anymore. I want you to know something about giving. Do you know the fourth most used word in the Bible is believe? And it's used 272 times. The third most used word in the Bible is pray. 371 times that word's used. The second most used word in the Bible is love. 714 times that word's used. Do you know that give is the most used word in the Bible? And do you know how many times it's used? 2,162. Times. Giving is not just a responsibility, it's an opportunity. And many of you are missing it. According to our statistics, 80% of us are missing it. And we're in a comfort zone. You know, I just recorded a podcast with James Callison. James, raise your hand. Raise your hand. He's right there. James is the chairman of our finance team. You need to listen to that podcast. We're dropping another one tomorrow, but I want you to listen to the one with James, because we talked about giving. And he walked through the discipline and the joy of giving. And you know, I never thought of it this way until recently. James mentioned that the largest deduction from your checkbook on a monthly basis ought to be your kingdom giving. And so I went back and looked at ours. We looked at ours. And you know what? I don't remember exactly when it happened, but I really wrestled with telling you this today, but just know my heart here. I'm not bragging. But do you know that right now, if you look at Robin and I's checkbook, the largest deduction on a monthly basis is our kingdom giving. What's the largest deduction from yours? I mean, our giving is bigger than our mortgage. It's bigger than any debt we have, any bill we pay. And you know what? When we realized, we were like, awesome. And you know what that moved us to do is, how can we give more? And you know what happened yesterday? I'm trying not to talk. Robin took my phone away. And we're on the porch. I get an email from a missionary in England who asked for us to support his daughter at this thing this summer. And I showed Robin. I said, hey, we ought to give to that. What do you think? I said, I got an idea in my head. What do you think? And she threw out an amount. I go, no kidding. That was exactly what I thought. And it was a little high. And she threw it out. And I was like, because I couldn't talk, so we did that. And you know what? We were pumped to give to that. I want to challenge you. Nobody will stand before God and wish they gave less to the Lord. You won't either. I want to challenge you to get out of your comfort zone in your giving. Now, you may not be able next week to make the largest deduction from your checkbook be your giving to the Lord. But I want to challenge you to really evaluate and be intentional about your giving. And like James says in this podcast, while he did it, we asked him, how did you become a giver? And he goes, well, we started with 3%, and then we went to 4, and then we went to 5. And then he talked about, now we're well over. It's the largest deduction on a monthly basis. I thought, man, let me say it like this. It's the largest investment on a monthly basis. Because that's what kingdom giving is. And I want to challenge you. When you think about your comfort zone, are you in the middle of it? Are you robbing yourself of growing in your faith because you've not learned to trust the Lord with your giving? Because here's the stronghold of the United States of America. It's in our wealth. We think we have the ability to pay our way out of everything. And I'll tell you, the sooner you learn to live by faith in your giving, let me tell you something. You'll see a life and live a life that leads you to an adventure that you do not want to miss. You know, if I can summarize this message, and I'm going to summarize it in this. We're to live by faith. And if I'm going to, I should have summarized it in a single sentence, but I can't ever do a single sentence. But if I'm going to summarize it, I want you to hear this. We fear too much because we trust God too little. The more I trust God, the less I'll be afraid. It's time to live by faith. It's time to grow up in our faith. Let's take some steps. Now, we're going to have an invitation, and Nathan's going to come. And you know, I love invitations. Because every time God's word is preached, I should respond. And I want to challenge you. This song that Nathan's going to sing, we've seen this example of in this man. He went to Jesus. He's singing this song called Abide. You know, I pray that we learn this lesson from this leader who went to the source. He went to Jesus. I pray you go to him every day. And then he believed his word. I pray you trust him every day. As we sing this song, there'll be some people around the room. And in fact, I want our prayer team to go there. Just go around the room. I'll need some help today because my voice is struggling. But grow your faith. Would you stand where you are? Lord Jesus, I love you. I thank you for the way that your word convicts us. I pray that we would influence one another to give, to get out of our comfort zone, to grow our faith, to take you at your word, to sit with your spirit daily. Lord, that we would teach us to pray specifically. Father, I love you. And I pray that we would no longer be a church that's normal. You'd lead us. Use us. Grow us. Now more than ever, our city, our world needs to see a church that trusts in you. So would you lead us, Father? Move us now. Teach us to abide in you. Thank you for the strength today to preach. Thank you for teaching me again that I can trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.